Hey kids, it is me, your dude, Isaac Robots. We're back for another super exciting, super fun episode of World Famous. This time out, we're going to talk about comic book movies. We're going to open up a He-Man figure. We're going to talk about the flea market for a minute. It's going to be good, man. But until we get there, Grandmaster Grandpa, kick that beat!
Okay, IC Robot, let's get this party started right. Let's get this party started quickly.This is World's Famous with IC Robot.
What's up, everybody? It's me, your dude, IC Robot. We got a really fun episode ahead of us this time. I don't even know how I'm going to fit in everything in the time that we are allotted here on KRJF 92.3 FM in Santa Rosa, simulcasting on 88.1 in lovely Bodega Bay. We're going to talk comic book movies, but this is going to be a little bit more precise than that. We're going to talk comic book movie adaptations. And what I mean is movies that are directly based on a comic book storyline. For the most part, your Marvel movies, your DC movies are superhero movies more than they are comic book movies. What I mean by that is the focus is on the hero, it's on the character, and a lot of times they draw elements from comic book storylines, they kind of mix and match them all together, and they make like a new thing, like these Marvel Universe superhero movies. The movies we're going to be talking about today on the list are movies that are directly based on a comic book storyline. I'll give you an example of one it's not on the list. It's a good movie, though. Go check it out. They made a movie of Alan Moore's comic From Hell, the one about Jack the Ripper. It's fun. It's good. And in that, Johnny Depp is the main character. And this is directly based on the comic From Hell by Alan Moore, more so than Iron Man 2 is based on any direct Iron Man storyline. I hope that makes sense. Once we get to the list, it will make a lot more sense than that. I hope. I hope it does. I hope that this all makes sense. I hope that every episode makes sense. But honestly, I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe they just make sense to me. Maybe I'm just shouting into the wind, hoping that somebody listens. We know not. We know not about these things. We don't know, but we hope. We have some other fun stuff, too. We're going to open up a figure in a second. We're going to get to that, like, in a quick second. We're going to use the blade. We're going to use the four snips. We're going to get into that. We're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about the flea market. There's been some, like, flea market hubbub going on, which is kind of always kind of interesting. We went to the new flea market. I'll talk about that really briefly, because we're short of time. We're going to do a bunch of stuff. I got a crazy new Pooptronics commercial. I cannot believe this one. I can't believe it, dude. I wish that I could separate from these guys, but we're kind of contractually married, so they have this little time that they can use. It's terrible. I feel like I'm spreading terrible information out in the world, but what can I do, dude? I don't want to get sued. I don't have money for a lawyer. I don't have money for anything like that. Let's move forward a little bit. We're gonna open this that I got right here. I've been sitting on this for a while. We're gonna bust it open. It's gonna be.
There is only one man who can strike fear in the hearts of the mutants. Only one man with the power to seize control of the Tri-Solar Galaxy.
No matter what it takes.
Only the most powerful man in the universe,
He-Man.
This is the Mo-2 Minute with the man who sold Kaldor the acid that burnt off his face. I see robots.
That is definitely true. I'm that guy. I had it on my flea market table. He picked it up, held it upside down to look and see what was in it. It poured on his face melted, and then I made him pay for it, because you break it, you buy it. That's the rules over at the good old Sebastopol flea market. This figure that we have here is one I've been sitting on for a while. I picked this up at the Ross over on Santa Rosa Avenue, the one that's kind of near where the Toys R Us used to be. It's a hallowed ground. I don't go over there very often. I don't want to dredge up any bad memories. The figure I have right here is this figure known as Skele-God. This is some big, freaked-out version of Skeletor. He looks super powerful. He has, like, green flames all over him. He's big. He's bigger than the other guys. On the back, it says, Cosmic Lord of Destruction. Skeletor lives his life with a singular purpose, to control the unlimited powers of the universe. It looks like he definitely has done that. This figure, to me, was the biggest peg warmer in the entire Masterverse universe. I would see this one over at the Walmart. I would see this one over at the Target. And they would just be like rows and rows and rows. I don't know if they thought this one was going to be a big seller. I don't know how these guys over at Mattel think, but it definitely was not that. It sat around, it languished until eventually it wound up at the Ross on Santa Rosa Avenue for the big time price of $3.99. At that price, even though I did not want this figure very much, I'm just like, who can pass that up? $3.99. Hold on, I'm facing away from the microphone. I apologize, but for $3.99, who could pass that up, dude? That's a bargain beyond belief. Nice figure. He's big. 30 points of articulation. Let's take a quick pause for the cause, though. We're going to find out a little bit more about this interesting character named Skele-God, who I do not know.
Skele-God is the final evolution of Skeletor from the Netflix He-Man show. He is big and scary looking and is super powerful. He turns into Skele-God after claiming the power of Grayskull for himself. His power levels are unknown at the present time, but by looking at him, I'd say he is probably a pretty tough character. The Skele-God figure languished on toy store shelves for months before arriving at Ross for $3.99. A bargain for sure.
Oh, okay, I get it. So he finally got in to Castle Grayskull, and he took all the power, and he used it for himself. Much like Doctor Doom in Secret Wars took the power of the Beyonder for himself. Famous cover with Doctor Doom. It's great. Great stuff. Let's take a look at this figure. You can see him in the box. He has, like, two hands, a bunch of accessories. Let's just bust into it. Got the Arthur Fonzarelli brand Switchblade. Gonna have to cut this tape right here. And then I think once we do that, we can pull the tray out. And we're going to do so. We'll set the box aside. He's a nice looking figure. The details are pretty cool. He has a lot of little ties on them, though. Let's grab the Engineer Nerd brand four snips here. And we're going to grab these at the base right near the hole. That one didn't come out. We'll try it again. I'm a little out of practice. Grab it right here. Pull. It's out. There we go. And the other ones, of course, there's one around his waist. Can't have any movement, I guess. He might get away. He comes right off the card. He has a cape, a cloth cape, which is pretty nifty. He has fire around his neck. This is like a really heavy metal-looking figure. He has giant horns, big shoulder pads. He has talons. What is this flamey device? Let's see, what does this do? There's some kind of an accessory. I think it turns his hand into flames. That would be my guess, but I'm not sure. Maybe you put it over the... He has the power sword right here. Let's take that out. Very nice power sword. Goes into his hand. I think you have to switch hands. He's the power sword. But where do you think this giant flame goes? My guess would be like over his fist so that he could hold it up. And it does go over his fist very well. It's like a big green snot bubble kind of thing. I think this guy's really cool, man. Very good version of Skeletor. I wish that he had, like, a guitar. Like a rockin' guitar that you could put in here and sort of make him look like... That'd be pretty cool. Maybe I could use the one that came with the Kiss Amigo. I use those Kiss Amigo guitars. I have Frankenstein and a werewolf. Around Halloween time, I put him in my display and I give him little instruments. Let's take a look at the card here. All he has is some extra hands. I might actually want to change one of these hands out. Let's get the right one so that he can have the power sword. His original hand that he comes with is like a scary talon that came off easily enough. He has a gauntlet on his wrist that also comes off, which is neat. It's not molded onto there. Let's see if we can get the hand down into the hand hole. Goes in there pretty easily, but I'm a veteran. Shout out to Engineer Nerd for the use of these four snips, which you just heard clickety clanging. He loans these out. He only has one pair, and he loans them out, and then I send them back to him when I'm done. It takes a lot of work. But these are expensive, dude. These cost like $500,000, man. Engineer Nerd four snips. Let's see. He has a sword. You can see him moving around. His joints are already, they move pretty well. They're not super tight. Sometimes you buy like a NECA figure, and they're just like super duper tight. But this guy's pretty loose. This is easily worth $3.99. It is a beautiful version of Skeletor. The articulation is great. The detailing on his head is fantastic. And I love this this flamey neck. It looks like he has flames coming out from underneath his shoulder pads. Very, very cool. Unfortunately, I'm not really familiar with this character. Sadly, as much as I liked the He-Man Masterverse cartoon, I didn't get to the end of it. I watched like a bunch of the episodes and I just never finished it. It was one of those things where like I was watching it, and then I just sort of forgot about it before I got to the end. But it was definitely fun. I think season 2 of that is out, or it's about to come out. I don't get super big into the MOTU lore. I like the figures, I like the designs, I like the basic ideas of who the characters are, but the He-Man cartoon back in the day was not very good at all. So I kind of avoided that altogether, and I didn't study over the mini comics like some people do. I probably should have, but I just kind of like making my own little stories. You know, it was obvious. He-Man's a good guy, Skeletor is the bad guy, and then sometimes they would fight. That was kind of how I did it. This is definitely a cool figure. I like him quite a bit. Quite a bit. If you see this over at your Ross, Ross has been a really great place to get up on some MOTU Masterverses. I kid you not. My collection has grown exponentially since I started going to Ross. I went there yesterday, and I didn't find anything. They had the retro Stridor, you know, the horse that Fisto rides, but I already have it. Honestly, I have two. I have an old one, I have a new one, but they had three of those there. I think they were $8.99. I almost bought another one just because, but I did not. I left them for somebody else. Sometimes you gotta leave things for other people to find. It is a nice thing to do. Let's move forward. Oh, I got this weird Pooptronics commercial. Let's play that really quick.
Hello, I am Dr. Bucket, inventor of the spiritual protection bucket hat. The hat is awesome and is selling like sliced bread on its first day of creation, but the people demand more and more they shall have. I am now happy to introduce the spiritual protection bucket hat 2.0. Now complete with an offensive tool for the first time. My assistant Grady will tell you all about it.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. Are you tired of the ghost bothering you? Sure, the hat keeps them from entering your brain, but you want to keep them away forever? Of course you do. Who needs the spirit of your great uncle always up in your business when you are trying to watch Chopped? So for the first time ever, you can now use the Malocchio, also known as the evil eye, against any spirits. It's a devastating tool against pesky ghosts. Dr. Bucket, tell them more.
We here at Pooptronics have created a scientific device that allows anyone with or without magical abilities to shoot an evil eye at a ghost. How is it done? Simple. Fold the bill of your hat down like so. See these lenses that are on the bill. If you look through them, your eye will now be evil and able to blast beams of dark magic right at the ghost, banishing them to hell forever. Just make sure not to use it on your friends, or they too will go to hell. And there is no way to get them back without paying a substantial relocation fee to Pooptronics. The Hat 2.0 will be available soon, wherever dark magic items are sold. Until then, it is best that you stay inside.
Pre-order your spiritual protection bucket hat 2.0 today, or guess what, stupid? Your whole head will be haunted by the spirits of your dead relatives you didn't visit enough before they died. Those guys have a bone to pick with you, and they plan to pick it dry. Get in line for the new hat today, or else.
All right, dude, there's a lot to unpack there. I don't like dark magic in any form. I think that it is best to stay away from all dark forces. Just as a rule of thumb, don't mess with these things unless you're some kind of a trained magic user like our guy Preston out there in the deep south, man. This is just a lot. There is a lot there. I don't like any of this. I don't like the idea that so many people are haunted by ghosts. I think that that's really weird. I have never seen a ghost. Have you? Have you ever seen one? Are you haunted by them? I guess that a lot of people out there must have this problem, or there wouldn't be a hat specifically designed to combat it. They're not going to go into production and make millions upon millions of hats without there being a demand. That's how big business works. When you're a super successful company like Pooptronics, and like it or not, they are super successful, you don't get that way by making lots of things that don't sell. Let's take a look. Johnny Coins did great. Food Cubes, they did great. And now this is out here, and people are going to be sending their friends to hell. I know it. I know this for a fact. People are going to get hurt by this. I just... I don't like this at all. I don't like this in any way. If I were you, I would not get involved with this. I would not, man. Just the fact that, like, they are somehow generating dark magic through science is wacky to me. They're just out there again. They're like Dr. Doom. I don't even know, dude. What do they call that? A technomancer? When you're, like, a scientist and also a magician? I don't know, dude. This is all very creepy, but that's all I can do. All I can do is advise you against it and take this with all the seriousness intended. Don't get one of these hats, dude. We are going to have to move forward into the next bit now. It is This Week in Japanese League Baseball with our guy, Derek.
Why is it world famous if, like, literally less than, like, nobody has ever heard of it? Charge. Is this, like, an attempt at irony or something? I don't get it.
Charge.
This Week in Japanese League Baseball.
This is Derek for This Week in Japanese League Baseball. The dangerous new pitch, now renamed the Dynamite Ball, claimed its first casualty this week. No one died, but a bat boy and an umpire sustained third-degree burns on their bodies when a dynamite ball bounced in the dirt before home plate and exploded. Both the victims will live, but after seeing their injuries, I have to ask if that is something they want to do. It was a pretty bad situation. So far, these two are the only victims of this new and dangerous pitch, but there for sure will be more in the future. The NPB has done little to curtail the pitch, and it seems like only a matter of time before someone bites the big one. Isn't there anyone out there who can do something? This is Derek for This Week in Japanese League Baseball.
That was This Week in Japanese League Baseball.
Up next, I See Robots runs down his personal top 5 comic book movies. That sounds good. My favorite is Iron Man 2.
As much as I appreciated that intro, and trust me, I appreciated it quite a bit, a more accurate way to put this would be I See Robots top 5 comic book movie adaptations. We're going to be talking about movies that directly adapt comic books, and as cool as that movie was, it's a great film. We all love it. I think we can all stand in agreement that Iron Man 2 is the best movie in all of Marvel films. It is not, in fact, a comic book movie adaptation. There are some elements to it, you know, just like any kind of Marvel story, but that's not what it is. What we're going to do here, we're going to talk these things that are directly adapted from the things that we love so much. Those things known as comic books. I love them. You love them. Everybody loves them. Comic books are cool, man. I'm talking like individual comics, floppies. I'm talking trade paperbacks, I'm talking big omnibuses, I'm talking everything that is related to a comic book like that. Let's jump into this list. Our guy Derek, he hung around, good guy doing some volunteer work here at IC Robots Radio Studios. He's going to break it down for us. Derek, what's number 5?
Number 5.
The Gentleman. Oh, that's a good one. Very violent though.
Yeah, you're right about that, Derek. The Kingsman, The Secret Service, is a super violent movie based upon a super violent comic book by our guy Mark Miller called The Secret Service. The Secret Service came out in 2012 on Mark Miller's Miller World imprint, and then the film came out in 2014. It's about spies. There's a ring of people kidnapping celebrities, and it leads to this, like, global conspiracy. It's a pretty fun film, I'm not gonna lie. It's very, well, what would be a good word? It's very crass. It's very violent. There's a lot of swearing. It's really juvenile at points. A lot of super violent juvenile humor, but it's dumb. It's dumb fun. You know what you're getting when you read, like, a Mark Miller comic, and you know what you're getting when you watch a Mark Miller movie. The film stars Taron Egerton as our guy Eggsy, the main character. He's like a street kid who gets trained by his very, very posh, very debonair uncle into becoming an agent for a secret society of independent spies known as the Kingsmen. The Kingsmen spun off a bunch of different movies, man. There's like Kingsman 2, Kingsman 3. I've heard that Argyle is considered part of the Kingsmen universe. There's going to be another Kingsman movie coming out soon. And honestly, I think you could keep putting these movies out forever, like James Bond films. They're like a more violent, more crass version of James Bond. I don't think that you necessarily need Taron Egerton. You don't necessarily need Colin Firth. You could move forward with any numbers of tales. They've even gone back in the past and done one about the origin of the team. It's all good in the hood, man. It's a lot of fun to me. I realize it's not everybody's cup of tea, and I get that. But I'd like... I like crass. I like silly sometimes. I mean, it's all fun. It's all good to have something silly. On another topic really quick, the Kingsman comic book came out. I feel like it was popular. I feel like it was something that people were into. But I think that the first issue of Secret Service number one, is an undervalued comic. It gave you the idea of the Kingsman. It gave you the character of Eggsy, who is still around in the Miller universe doing whatever he's doing. He recently appeared in their big crossover event as one of the main characters. And as such, I do think the comic book is undervalued. You can pick them up for like $4 or $5. I'm not saying it's ever going to go up in value. I really don't think so. Movies that adapt non-superhero comics tend to not get that bump that having a movie made about you as a superhero does. That's one of the big deciders of a comic book value. Did you appear in a movie? Did you appear in a TV show? If so, your book is going to be more valuable than somebody who did not. With the proliferation, though, of superhero movies and of superhero shows, that isn't necessarily a big decider, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt at all. So number five on my list is a movie called Kingsman. What is number four?
Number four.
X-Men, Days of Future Past. That's a good one too. My favorite X-Men movie is X-Men, the first one.
X-Men, the first one is definitely a good movie, Derek. Don't get me wrong, but I think that my favorite of all the X-Men movie is X-Men, the second one. I think that one pretty dark, pretty fun. When you have like a trilogy of movies, the second one is usually the best because it kind of goes like this. In the first one, they introduce the characters. In the second one, the bad guys get some kind of a heat. You know, they beat down the good guys. The good guys tend to lose. And then in the third one, the good guys get their comeback, leading to the big, big victory. And much like Empire Strikes Back, X-Men 2 is the one where the X-Men kind of get the heat put on them. But what we are talking about right now is a movie known as X-Men. X-Men Days of Future Past came out in 2014. And interestingly enough, the film, The X-Men Days of Future Past, was originally slated to be directed by Matthew Vaughn, who we just heard from our number 5 movie, The Kingsman. And in fact, he left this movie to go work on The Kingsman. That left Bryan Singer to direct it. And I think that he did. I think he did a bang-up job. I know some people like Singer, some people don't like Singer, but some people like people and some people don't like people when it comes down to basically everybody on Earth. This is a two-issue storyline, number 141 and 142, that came out in 1981, and it deals with a dystopian future in which mutants are incarcerated in internment camp. And adult Kitty Pryde transfers her mind into her younger self, and she goes back there, rights all the wrongs, and everything goes back to normal. In the movie, what happens is Kitty Pryde sends Wolverine back into the past, and he rights the wrong. And I see why they did that. Wolverine is far and away the most popular of all the X-Men. There is no one even close. I get it. But I like the original story where Kitty Pryde goes back. I think that just the fact that Kitty is always an underdog, she's a gal, she's small, her powers aren't really like all that banging. She can turn intangible. She can walk through things. She doesn't have an adamantium skeleton. She doesn't have the powers over nature. She can't shoot beams out of her eyes. Basically, all she can do is run away and hide. And the fact that she goes back and she rights all these wrongs by herself, I just think that's a real humdinger story. But don't get me wrong. X-Men Days of Future Past movie really, really, really is some quality stuff. I liked it quite a bit. You get the young Michael Fassbender Magneto. You get the young James McAvoy as Professor X. You got Jennifer Lawrence as Rogue. Halle Berry's in it. Peter Dinklage. Dinklage the Dink plays the bad guy. And he's right on point in this. I cannot say enough about the Dink. The Dink is a very, very good actor. I recently saw a movie where he was putting the romantic moves on Marissa Tomei, who owned a tugboat. Pretty good stuff. Go find that Marissa Tomei tugboat movie. You can't go wrong. And you can't go wrong with X-Men Days of Future Past. It's very good. This was like a high mark for the series. In a lot of ways, this was one of their big, big events, much like the Infinity Gauntlet thing over in Marvel. A lot of the movies led up to this. You got the crossover with the young. You got the crossover with the old. Very, very good stuff. Can't recommend it highly enough. But there are actually, factually, three movies I preferred more. And right now, we're going to find out what one of them is.
Number three.
Scott Pilgrim. I've never seen that. I don't really like Michael Cera ever since my brother said I look like him. I totally don't.
Well, yeah, you don't look like him at all, Derek, but you do kind of give off some Michael Cera vibes, but I don't think that you should let that stop you from seeing Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is my number three favorite comic book adaptation of all the times in space. Scott Pilgrim versus the World came out in 2010. It was directed by Edgar Wright, the great Edgar Wright, who you might know from, man, anything, Baby Driver, Five Mike Movie Hall of Fame, Baby Driver. He just did everything, dude. He's great. He's going to be coming out with an adaptation of The Running Man pretty soon, which I'm really looking forward to because from what I understand, it's not like The Running Man movie. It's like The Running Man book, which is absolutely one of my favorite Stephen Kings of all the times in space. Look back at the top five Stephen King stories of all the times, and you'll see that on there. So that's something to look forward to in the future. But right now, let's talk about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. The movie came out in 2010, like I said. It is based on the Scott Pilgrim series of books. I want to call them comics, but they're like not big floppies or like trade paperbacks. They're more like the little Archie books, the Archie Digest. They're very easy to read, very fun, really cool. The art is very simple, but also very expressive. It's kind of manga-influenced. I think that there are six books in total in this, and I believe that they continued it on. But right now, we're talking about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Scott Pilgrim, your titular character, is a leader of a band called Sex Bob-omb, and he falls in love with this girl named Ramona Flowers, who's played by the great Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And to earn her love, he has to fight and defeat her seven deadly exes. And this leads to a series of karate fights, highly stylized karate fights. This movie is a lot of fun. This is back when 2.0 was at the house with us and we took her to see this. And she like fell for this movie immediately. It's really video game oriented and she was in that whole gamer life thing at the time. And man, well, she's still in that gamer life thing right now, but when she saw this the first time, it really connected with her. It really connected with me. It's a lot of fun. I cannot recommend this one highly enough. If you haven't seen it, little known fact, I have a poster for Scott Pilgrim vs. the World in my garage. And someday when 2.0 gets a house of her own, right now she's living in an apartment, but someday when she gets a house of her own, I'm going to get it framed and I'm going to give it to her as a housewarming gift. She can put it in her living room, start a movie poster collection of her own. Scott Pilgrim continued on, I believe, on Netflix. I think they made an animated Netflix series. I don't know if it's actually based on this or if it's a different thing. I kind of think it's a different thing. I am not sure. I would imagine it's more like the continued adventures of Scott Pilgrim. One of the things that I liked about this movie a lot was the soundtrack. They got Beck, who you might know from his great song, Loser. He did the songs for them, and then they had Michael Cera and the guys do covers of them. But also, they included the Beck versions on the CD. So if you ever see that, you're at the flea market, you see it used, you're at the record store, you see it new, pick it up. It's a lot of fun. It might be on Spotify or whatever. I know not about those things. This one, highly recommended, but believe it or not, there's a couple more that I like even more than that. Let's find out what the next one is.
Number 2.
The Watchmen. I never saw that one either. Too long, dude. It's like 4 hours long.
Not quite 4 hours, more like three, but when you have something as awesome as The Watchmen, you gotta take your time, dude. You got to sit back, you got to go over every panel, you got to go over everything. And one of the things that I like about this movie is how faithful it is to the imagery of the source material, which of course was written by the legendary Alan Moore, drawn by the legendary Dave Gibbons. It is an all-time classic. A lot of people consider The Watchmen to be the greatest comic book series of all the times. And honestly, I can't argue with that. If that's what you think, hey man, it probably is. For a lot of people, this is considered very high art. And when Zack Snyder, the controversial Zack Snyder, took this movie on, people were like, I don't know if he can do it. I honestly don't know if anyone can do it. And in my opinion, he knocked it out of the park. I know that it's a divisive movie. Some people like it. Some people don't like it at all. Myself, I have grown to love it over the years. I think it's absolutely fantastic. When I first saw it at the theater, I thought it was good. I definitely thought it was good. But over the years, I've seen it like a million different times on HBO. I have it on Blu-ray. There's a million different cuts of it. And we'll talk about a particular cut that I prefer the most later. But I've seen this like a million times, and I've really grown to appreciate it as a film. You have an amazing performance from Rorschach, Jackie Earle Haley, he's great. Billy Crudup. Billy Crudup captures what it would be like to be Dr. Manhattan. It's amazing. Malin Ackerman is great. I felt like this was a really, really good adaptation of it. First, you had the original cut, then they came out with an extended cut on DVD, and both of those are really good. I think the extended cut's a little better, but right now, there is a fan edit of this movie called the Squid Cut. It's the Watchmen Squid Cut. You can find it on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and you Google it, there's a little trailer. And in the trailer, there's a link to where you can download it. And what they did with this one is they took a lot of the extra material from the DVD and they added it in. And then they changed the ending back to the original comic book ending using footage from the Watchmen TV program. And man, it is... it's dynamite. This one is about 4 hours long. Watchmen, the Squid Cut is my preferred cut. But we're just talking about the base cut of the movie. And it is definitely awesome. The visuals are fantastic. I just think they are so great. They're very evocative of what a comic book would be like if you could watch it in live action. More so than a lot of other comic book movies that I've seen. More so than any of the Marvel films, more so than any of just the standard DC films. This is really, really a work of art. The Watchmen, number two. But guess what? There is one more comic book movie adaptation that I like even more. And we're going to find out what it is in a second right after these words from a sponsor.
You're listening to KRJF, FM 92.3 in Santa Rosa. Simulcasting on 88.1 in Bodega Bay. Want to be a good person today? Go and pick up some litter. It's a small thing that makes a big difference.
Boy, I really did it last night. Got drunk, acted stupid, went home with... Who is that? What, am I stupid? How did I do this?
Get high. Get stupid.
Get AIDS.
We now return you to the list. Number one.
Ghost World. I've never seen that. Are there ghosts in it? Is it scary? Pretty good list, I guess.
You probably would have liked it more if you would have seen the number two and the number one movies, but I get it, man. Different strokes for different folks. Everybody has different taste. My number one comic book movie adaptation of all the times and all the space is a movie known as Ghost World. Ghost World came out in 2001. It stars Thora Birch, Scarlett Johansson, Brad Renfro, and Steve Buscemi. Let's take a quick look and get a brief synopsis. Based on the 1990s comic book Ghost World by Daniel Clowes, the story focuses on the lives of teenage outsiders Enid, played by Thora Birch, and Rebecca, Scarlett Johansson, who face a rift in their friendship as Enid takes an interest in an older man named Seymour and becomes determined to help his romantic life. This movie is so great. I love it so much. I remember back in the day when the Sausagetarian and I were working together at the downtown business place. She had gone to Summerfield the day before, the Ardy Farty Theater over on Summerfield Road, and she saw this movie and she came in and she told me, "Bro, don't go see it in the theater. Just wait till it comes out on DVD and buy it on DVD." And this is back when DVDs were like $25.99. They were quite a purchase. She was like, "Just buy it the day it comes out because this is going to be one of your favorite movies of all the time." And guess what? It absolutely is. I think this movie is so great. It's so weird. It's so off-putting. It's just absolutely fantastic. At the time, I think this is interesting every time I see it. At the time, this was intended as kind of like a star-making role for Thora Birch, and then as her cohort with Scarlett Johansson, who goes on to be the highest-grossing actress of all the times. It's just amazing. At first, you're kind of watching Thora Birch, and then after you see it a couple times, you go, you know, her friend is kind of interesting. Her friend has like some interesting mannerisms. She has that weird, interesting voice that ScarJo used to have. Remember back in the day, she had this really gruff, really throaty voice. Over the years, I've noticed it's kind of gone away. She must have gone to like a vocal coach and had that undone, but I wouldn't know. It's really cool, man. A girl with a weird raspy voice is always kind of fun. This movie was written by the great Daniel Clowes. At the time, at the time, Daniel Clowes, he wrote a comic called 8-Ball. He was considered just like a gigantic, gigantic creative force in the world. In the crowd of people that the Sagittarian and I ran in back in the day, Daniel Clowes was considered a giant creative force. If Daniel Clowes came out with something, you for sure were going to go see it. I kid you not. This movie is so good, though. If you haven't seen it, go out and see it. Where is it currently streaming? Right now, you can watch it on Tubi. You can watch it on Tubi for free. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. The character of Seymour, played by Steve Buscemi, he's a collector. He's a collector of rare jazz records. And he has a party with his various collector friends. And I'm just like, man, this is my life now. This is my life, hanging out with weird people who collect weird things. He has like a little weekly garage sale, him and his roommate, and they sell records and they sell whatever. And I'm like, dude, that looks like the life. He has his little record set up and people come and they look at his records. He has bags for the records. He sells his stuff. That seems like the life, like setting up a little comic store in your garage that only opens up on the weekends. Our guy has a little record store that only opens up on the weekends. I cannot not recommend Ghost World highly enough. It is presently in the 5-Mic Movie Hall of Fame, and all 5 of those mics are deserved. Everybody, I really appreciate you tuning in for this list. I appreciate it. Do you have any favorite comic book movie adaptations? Hit me up on the threads. I see robots on the threads. Hit me up on Instagram. Go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/Instagram, and let me know what you think.
And now, we finish off the show with a few thoughts on the new flea market at the Veterans Building.
Hey, this is Miyazaki Robots, and we are back. I don't know if you can hear that on the ground, but the dog named Dr. Jones is sitting right next to me. It's windy outside, like the wind is really coming through the yard, rattling the windows a little bit. And when it gets windy out, she gets scared. She just does not like it. She wants to be right at my side, so I gotta take the dog bed, and I gotta sit it right here. And right now, as we speak, she's like, she's, you know, scratching the dog bed. I don't know if you can hear that or not. It's irrelevant. What is relevant, though, is that we went to the new flea market over at the Vets Building. I believe it's called Taylor Market or something of that sort. It has a name. They hand out flyers and it has a name. I said it last week. It really doesn't matter, though. This is the flea market at the Vets Building. As we all know, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County area is home to 3 flea markets. We got the one out in Sebastopol, Migley's, we got Mojo Sales out on Santa Rosa Avenue, and now we have Taylor Mart at the Vets Building. The Veterans Building is the best place in all of Sonoma County for a flea market. The parking lot is massive. You can fill one half with only parking and the other half with flea market, and you have a lot of tables. And that's what they did this week. Half cars, half stuff. I gotta say, it was a pretty good flea market. It was pretty fun. It was not as full as when Mojo Sales used to run the Veterans Building back in the day. It wasn't that full, but this was only the first week. I am sure that it will get a little bit more full, but it could also be that the $50 price per spot is turning people away. You can get a Mojo Sales for $25. You can get the Migley's Flea Market in Sebastopol for $25. And in Sebastopol, it comes with a table. Here, it comes with nothing but the spot. But I think that the spots are a little bit larger than they were back in the day of Mojo Sales. Back in the days of Mojo Sales, they were not very large. The Veterans Building was home to the 40 and 8 flea market that was put on by a local VFW charity. It's since gone under, but their spaces were already marked out, and the Mojo Sales, they continued on in the same spaces. But I think the Taylor Mart ones are a little bit bigger. It's hard to say. I'm going to have to give it a look. I didn't really think about it till the end, but then I did kind of notice that it felt like everybody had rented a double spot. So I don't know. That could be the reason they're 50. I do not know. But it was fun. It was like traveling back in the past. Like I have said many times, Mojo used to run the Veterans Building, and then there was some kind of something happened, and she ended up not running it any longer, and it's been vacant ever since. But this Taylor Mart is like going back in the past. It's like the Mojo's is back at the Veterans Building. It was fun. A lot of the old vendors who were there in their old, same old spots, which was interesting. It was just like a trip to the recent past, which is always nice. It was okay, though. Good time was had. A lot of stuff to see. The vibe there is, it feels aggressive to me. Not aggressive as far as like somebody's gonna attack you, but aggressive as far as shopping. I think there's a lot of resellers there, which is fine. I get it. I dig it. A lot of people picking. a lot of people doing things of the sort, but I think the picking vibe was really in effect more so than just like the walking around and having fun vibe, but that's what it is sometimes. I don't find that vibe to be as prevalent at the Sevastopol flea market. It's not a vibe I really love. I get it that people want to find cool stuff to sell. I myself love to find the cool thing to flip every once in a while too. It's in the blood of the flea market collector type, but it does give for kind of an aggressive vibe. But we did have fun. What did I get there? I didn't fully prep for a what did I find at the flea market, but I did find a couple cool things. I got a pair of PVC Smurfs. I got one where Papa Smurf has a pizza, and then I got one where it's a Dracula. The Dracula one is really banging, if you ask me. It's really banging. I got those for $1 each. And then I got two beer cans. Some dude had a collection of beer cans, and he was selling them two for $1, and I got these Garden State cans. I found this one just because I had to get another one to make it $1, but the one I wanted is this one here. If you look close, it also has a Dracula on it. It's like a 70s seasonal brew that Garden State put out every year called Dracula Brew. It's cool, man. I'm going to put this can out when it's Halloween time. When Halloween rolls around, I'll post some pictures of this stuff. You can see it. It's very cool, man. Just go look up the Garden State Dracula beer if you can't wait that long. I got this. I got that. I got a plastic gun. I'm a collector of... Hold on. Let me reach around and get this. I'm a collector of 80s and 70s realistic-looking toy guns. When I look back at these, this is like... It's like a 45, like a 45 revolver. Big black revolver, Colt 45, and it's made in Hong Kong, which means it's 70s, early 80s. You can tell by where these things are made. Hong Kong's is 70s, early 80s, 60s, and 50s is like Japan, and then there's a period of Taiwan, which was like the late 80s and 90s, and now it's all China. So when you look at things, you can gauge it by that, and this is a Hong Kong gun, but it's weird when you see these realistic looking toy guns. Like, people used to send their kids out in the street with things, would get them capped by the fuzz nowadays, by the pigs, having something like that. But it's cool, man. I got quite a few. I got a bunch of cap guns. I like cap guns too. When I was a kid, I was not allowed to play with toy guns, which is a policy that I am fully in effect with. But as an adult, it makes me want to get the ones that I never had. So I got this. It was like $1. Nothing big. I got it over at my guy Alan's table. Alan is the guy that I got that lamp from a couple episodes ago. That super awesome, super great swag lamp that's out in the living room right now. So overall, good time was had. There's going to be 3 of these per month over at the Veterans Building. There is one controversial topic, though. The flea market there does not allow people to vend on blankets or on tarps on the ground. And this is definitely a flea market staple if you've ever gone to any flea markets. There's always somebody with things on the ground, but they do not allow it. And to me, it feels a little classist, honestly, when you go to the flea market. There are all kinds of vendors. There are people just out there, you know, cleaning out their garage, having fun. There are people who make a living doing this, professional antique vendors. And then you see a whole nother type of person who may be more down on their luck than they would like to be. Maybe they're behind on a bill. Maybe they're just trying to get the next bottle of Muscatel. And they bring their things out there trying to make a little money to help them get by. And these people, by and large, don't own a folding table, and they put things on blankets. You see this, they put things on tarps, on the ground. You can tell when you see somebody like this. You can tell when somebody's down on their luck. When I see this, it does make me sad. It's sad to see people that are having a hard time in life, and occasionally they'll try to buy something if I see something cool. I try not to bargain people down. I see people do this. Like, dude has a blanket with, like, all of his earthly possessions on it, and people are trying to bargain him down to the lowest price possible. It's cold-blooded, dude. It's cold-blooded. You can tell the people you should bargain with, and these people are not like that. But they are not allowed at the Taylor Mart and all at all. And this feels a little classist to me. I don't like that vibe. I don't like it. Maybe homies trying to have like more of an upscale flea market. And I dig that too. But a flea market is what it is. And sometimes it's a place where people go because they're having a hard time in life and they need to sell all their earthly possessions to be able to pay the rent. I don't want to stop somebody from doing that if they have to. It's sad. But if you got to do it, you got to do it. And I don't want to stand in your way. I don't want to stand in your way. And then after that, we went to Sevastopol just to see. In the past, the Mojo sales was really, really, really cutting into the Sevastopol flea market business. I remember that Mojo's was always full, Sevastopol was always empty, but lately Sevastopol's been full and Mojo's on Santa Rosa has been empty. So I just wanted to see what would happen with now three flea markets going on. And it turned out that over in Sevastopol, they were banging. It felt like almost every table was sold. There were so many people. We usually get there early. If you get there any time past 11, I think this is around when, like, the churches get out and stuff, it really, really, really starts to pick up, and usually we're already come and gone by then. But this time, Taylor Mart first, this Mart second, and man, we got caught in a parking phenomenon. It took us forever to find a seat, a spot, rather. And eventually we did. We went through. It was fun. I'm not so sure I found anything there that day. I don't really think that I did, but it's a nice way to get a couple thousand steps, which makes you go closer to your daily goal of steps. It's all going to be interesting to see how this flea market stuff plays out over the next few months, over the next few years. I have heard word that Mojo may be moving her Santa Rosa Avenue flea market out to Petaluma. There's a park there that she was alternating with for a while. She's doing Santa Rosa and Petaluma. Petaluma is like two towns over if you're listening on the online. It's a couple towns over. Big town, Santa Rosa's rival town. Rodent Parts doesn't even count. We go right past you all the way to Petaluma. But she's had success over there before. I think it's in Lucchese Park. Is that what it's called? Something of that sort. It's a nice little park. She's had success there. And I've heard word that she might be moving back. I know not. We'll see how this all plays out. I'll keep you in the loop. I'll keep you in the form. This is the Santa Rosa Local Flea Market Report with me, your guy, IC Robots. I think that we are getting ready to get up out of here. I'm trying to think if there's anything else of note. Make sure to check out Power Records Playhouse. That's going to come the week after this. Right now, IC Robots Radio, we're alternating weeks. We got this show one week, Power Records Playhouse the next week. That one's put together by our guy PD Power. This dude is quite an enthusiast of Power Records, Power and Peter Pan Story Records. He has a vault of these that rivals my own VHS vault, where he showcases some of these. Sometimes he plays some songs, sometimes he plays commercials. Recently, he found a super rare recording of a Tom Thumb Records. Tom Thumb is the British version of Peter Pan Records. They have their own thing going on over there. And he found a super duper rare recording of a Tom Thumb Shaft story. It was amazing. Shaft, the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks, interpreted through a British lens. Very weird, very wacky, definitely worth listening to. But guys, we're going to get up out of here. I hope you had a good time. I hope you had fun. Reach out to me over on Threads at IC Robots, Instagram at IC Robots. Got a Facebook group, facebook.com/IC Robots. That's ISEE Robots. As if I'm looking off into the distance, seeing robots. I recently got a new message from Vino Gega. We're going to get to that next episode. It's a doozy, dude. It's a doozy. I feel bad that we haven't had time, but he's been preempted for, I don't know, man, maybe a month now. At any rate, we're going to sign off right now. This is me, IC Robot, saying, if you don't like what's going on in the news, go out there and make some of your own.
All right, bring an organ. And you know I got to have that. Some people listen because they want a mystery. Some people listen, then say we're whack. But if they miss the show, they get the heart attack. Now look at you, you're sitting there biting your lip. The whole world sees you as a hypocrite. Live out the first law and make yourself preservation. If the show doesn't help you, change the station. If you don't want peace in the world, love, peace, and happiness in an endless swirl. If all you want to do is keep the whole world back, you're the one that's whack. And
everybody, I'd like to thank all the engineers for making this record. I'd like to thank you for buying this record. But finally, I'd like to thank all the Buffalo girls out there.
Yo, Slick Blow.
That's right, BLE.
IC Robots Radio is a listener-supported endeavor. If you like what we do here and you look forward to new programming, consider helping us to bring fun stuff every week by heading over to supportthereport.com and tossing a few pounds into the hat. It's important to support things that you enjoy. Thanks and have a great week. Supportthereport.com.
Everybody love everybody.
Right there up on the wall.
This has been an Icy Robots Radio production.
Oh, wow.
Trash Dusters.
This is Derek for the Santa Rosa Trash Busters Alliance. I was out at the park yesterday and I saw this old dude, a total boomer, toss his cigarette butt on the ground near the playground. I was there practicing my parkour. Anyway, I got so mad about this disgusting litter bug that I did a flip off the bars and picked up the butt before it hit the ground. Then I did two somersaults over the old dude and put the butt right into his front pocket. He didn't even notice. The fun part was that it was still smoking. I don't want to hope he got burnt, but if he did, so be it. Smoking is gross, but if you do decide to do it, put your butt in your pocket, but be sure to put it out first.
This has been an announcement from the Sonoma County Alliance to Stop Old Dorks from Tossing Cigarette Butts Everywhere Alliance.